Blog Talk Radio.
Don't move that radio dial any further, because you're at the right station at the right time and at the right place. Welcome to the biggest three-day weekend online. You're listening to this marvelous radio show, brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio. We're on live, online, right here, right now. So sit back, relax, and listen and enjoy. And now, welcome to the show.
You look marvelous, darling.
Yes, you are marvelous, and stay marvelous, everybody. This is the D-Man here, Derek Barrett, a.k.a. DB. Right here on this wonderful, marvelous August 7th, 2015, I wanted to, I don't have the audience clapping right now because it's, a lot of things have been going on this week, and it's been a really, been a sad week. Of course, earlier this Monday, I told you on the past Sunday's broadcast, that this past weekend, Bobby Christina Brown had her funeral this past Saturday, and she was her body was sent to New Jersey to be buried by her mother, the late great Grammy Award winning singer Whitney Houston. And of course, I told you this past weekend. Roddy Piper, WWE Hall of Famer, pro wrestling Hall of Famer. He passed away this past weekend at the age of 61, roughly about 6 weeks after American Dream Dusty Rhodes passed away. So many people passed away, and I just found out this week, about actually a day after Bobby Christina was laid to rest. One of my high school buddies from student council lost his battle with a liver failure. Mr. Terry Lefford. He was a good friend. He actually introduced me to a whole lot of people in student council my senior year in high school, thus introducing me to a whole group of people, a whole group of friends, which I'm proud to have as my as classmates as well as friends. And he just passed away this earlier this week at the age of 46 years old. And I, even though it is bittersweet, it is bittersweet. Thing is, the doctor said that he should have passed away actually earlier, like a year ago, and many people thought he wouldn't even make it to see 2015, to be honest. And I just want to dedicate today's broadcast to him. And also this classic song, which ironically is 25 years old today, 25 years old this year. It's a hit. It was a hit 40 years ago when it was first played in the movie in the play. It was first a hit 40 years ago in the movie Coolie High, and it was a hit 25 years ago when it was done by this when its famous cover was this group. I just want to say. Somebody picked a fine time to call me. A fine time to call me. Well, I'm gonna have to put them on hold for the end of the show, at least till 5:30. But anyway, like I said, this cover is celebrating its 25th anniversary. Even though this is also the 40th anniversary of the movie it came from, this is the 25th anniversary of its cover. its Grammy Award-winning cover, and I want to say congratulations to this group, which made it a classic not only in the 70s, but also in the 90s, brought it back now. So I dedicate this show to you, Terry Ledford, and I dedicate this cover, It's So Hard to Say Goodbye, to Yesterday, to you as well. Here is Boys to Men.
Went to a screening of the 40th anniversary of
of Cooley High and met the creator of it, Eric Monte, who was also one of the co-creators of the TV show Good Time. And it's kind of like full circle, don't you think? Yeah, full circle. Kind of, yeah, it is. It is hard to think about, no joke, no question about it. You got to forgive me for my pausing and saying this is just sudden. I apologize for the delay of the show. It, you know, I really just found out about it. And, you know, I would have found out about it earlier, but, you know, I've told you about how crazy my Wi-Fi works. I wasn't able to get online until really till yesterday when I was gathering the stories for this weekend. But just found out about Terry a few hours ago. And anyway, I just want to say rest in peace, Terry. You fought the good fight, and I just want to let me give you a moment of silence. As I said, Terry Lifford was a very close friend of mine. He went to Southwest High School, graduated in 1987. I graduated along with him. We graduated the same year. He recently had a birthday. He turned 46, same age as I am. And he passed away earlier this week. As far as the funeral arrangements, I don't know about that specifically, but hopefully I'll give you more details about it maybe on tomorrow's or Sunday's broadcast for this weekend. Well, I hope the weather will be really good for us, because we definitely need some cheering up. It's 93 degrees here in Macon, Georgia, in the Macon-Bibb County area. It's 93 degrees with a high of 94 and the low of 72 degrees. That's all the updates that I have for today. I'll give the remainder of the weekend weekend's forecast for tomorrow's show. Speaking of a whole lot of people just leaving, I mean, well, they're not permanently leaving, they're not dying, but there's a lot of folks just leaving their shows. Of course, you know, Jon Stewart had his last broadcast of the Daily Show. Matter of fact, speaking of, it is a news show, so I might as well go into the news. So. Jon Stewart's final episode of The Daily Show last night was a fitting end to a 16-year run. A family reunion of sorts with appearances from so many of the people who helped Stewart achieve the status he has. And although technically Bruce Springsteen sang the last words, Stewart spoke the final words, offering a warm display of gratitude to his colleagues and audience. And he says, quote, "There are so many people to thank that I cannot possibly do it in the amount of time allotted. The people that worked here gave me the talent and inspiration to develop it all those years. It's the most incredible place. Honestly, today it still feels like a dream a little bit. And walking around the building today, nobody was making eye contact. There was so much love and pride filling the building right now. We just didn't want to drown it in saline, so everybody is making moves with salty goggles on. He adds on to say, I can't thank the people who work here enough, and I can't thank Comedy Central enough, and I can't thank the audience enough. Your support and enthusiasm over the years, don't think that the energy you put out is not received on those days we seem like we don't have it. I want to thank my wife, Tracy, and my kids, Nate and Maggie. I'm not going to look over there. For teaching me what joy looks like. And an artist I really admire once said that he thinks of his career as a long conversation with the audience. A dialogue, and I really like that metaphor for many different reasons. But the main one is because it takes away the idea of finality. This is just a conversation. show isn't ending. We're merely taking a small phase in conversation, a conversation which, by the way, I've hogged, and I apologize for that. You are never, I really should have at some point turned the camera around. Do you guys have anything to add? I've really been dominating this in a very selfish way, but I thought that was a remarkable way of getting to that. Nothing ends. It's just a continuation. It's just a it's a pause in the conversation rather than saying goodbye every night. I'm just going to say I'm going to go get a drink, and I'm sure I'll see you guys before I leave. And that pretty much was all she wrote. Pretty much was all she wrote for Jon Stewart. That was he had a really good run for The Daily Show. I watched it a lot. I didn't watch it all the time every day, mainly because I was working at a Fox affiliate, Fox TV station, as you well know, at the time The Daily Show was on, or at least when he became the host. Matter of fact, he's only been the second host of The Daily News. The first host of The Daily News on Comedy Central was Louis Black, if I'm not mistaken. Louis Black, of course, he's a stand-up comedian like Jon Stewart, who is also a comedian, stand-up comedian. He gave the reins to Louis Black gave the reins to Jon Stewart, and he's been holding on to it for at least 16 and a half years of it. And he gave the reins, gave it up last night on his last show, and the new host of the show is going to be Mr. Trevor Noah. He's a South African stand-up comedian. He's very, very funny, very hilarious, and I can't wait for him to start doing the new version of The Daily Show because he's very hilarious. By the way, the new episodes of The Daily Show will be going on with Trevor Noah, will premiere with Trevor Noah on September 28th, just in case you want to know when they will start. As a matter of fact, speaking of those who worked with Jon Stewart on The Daily Show, Stephen Colbert, who ended his Colbert Report, take over David Letterman's show, The Late Show with David Letterman, well, which now is going to be The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, his premiere will be on September 8th on CBS, which will be less than a month from now, as a matter of fact, a month from now. So hopefully you all will definitely check him out. Check out Stephen Colbert. Matter of fact, speaking of other people leaving right now, actually Rosa Perez and even Nicole Wallace, the two new co-hosts of The View, are going to be exiting. And Nicole Wallace is going to be exiting after declining off of demotion. Matter of fact, Rosie Perez left, I think they said Rose Perez's last day was yesterday, August the 6th. But I just found out actually yesterday that Nicole Wallace was going to be leaving The View yesterday. She had her last day, obviously, was, must have been today, I guess. Having put her distractors to shame recently by demonstrating a commanding Kardashian knowledge, The View co-host Nicole Wallace now has nothing more to prove on the show and has declined the producer's offered demotion to contributor. She will instead focus her attention on covering Donald Trump's race to the White House as a contributor to MSNBC, where she recently signed a new pact. Wallace was one of the new co-hosts named for this now-ending season of The View as ABC News, and the program's new executive producer looked to revive its rating and stabilize its talent lineup. Wallace's exit means all of those new co-hosts brought in for this season are gone. Wallace's name gets added to the show's 18th season Flotsam Jetsam list that includes Rosie O'Donnell, who was out after a few months, and Rose Perez, who announced her her exit last month, which is kind of strange considering, Sharon Osbourne's daughter, Kelly Osbourne, was on there, I think it was day before yesterday, 2 days ago, and they were talking about, and people were all upset about what she said about Donald Trump, saying like, well, if if he thinks they're all, you know, they're bringing that the Mexicans are bringing the worst. I guess I'm paraphrasing it. That who's gonna clean up his toilets and stuff. Now, granted, she said, I guess, in a tongue-in-cheek kind of way, but, you know, people are extremely super sensitive and super PC. That I mean, she didn't say it with the hateful intent that Donald Trump said, you know, about Mexicans. And Rosie Perez, she apologized for being sensitive because she knew that Kelly Osbourne didn't mean to say it in that way. And I'm sure Kelly also didn't mean to say it in that way, but she did apologize for saying it in that way. And you know, I gotta give her credit for that. Basically, to the team, I think executive producer Bill Wolf said in one of the memos to staff, basically he said it on a note to the people of View. He says that our friend Nicole Wallace is going to leave the show at the conclusion of the season. Because having worked with her for most of last year, you know the warmth, smarts, and professionalism she has brought to the job every day. She will always be a friend of our show, and I know you join me in wishing her only the best, he added. Last month, producers Axe Wallace is one of the show's regular co-hosts, but offered to bring her back as one of the stable of guest contributors who would be tapped to fill in when one of the A-listers was off shooting a new Netflix series or whatever. The former communications chief for George W. Bush and senior advisor for the McCain-Palin campaign, who famously was played by Sarah Paulson in HBO's Emmy-winning Game Change, had been selected as the resident conservative on The View as part of its overhaul this season. Her hire was backed by Wolf, who came from MSNBC, where Wallace recently renewed her contributor contract and where her contributions to that news network's presidential race coverage will erase her short, unfortunate time on The View from our collective memory. Double-digit ratings drops to The View did in Wallace and Perez. Sources who did not wish to be quoted told Deadline that producers decided Wallace was not a good fit because she did not disagree with the other more liberal co-hosts as stridently as had been hoped and was not particularly well-versed on pop celebrities, you know, like Elizabeth Hasselbeck was when she was the conservative person on The View. Says loosely translated, Wallace was not up to speed on the Kardashians and not shrill enough to be The View's conservative talking head, I guess compared to Elizabeth Hasselbeck. And though she came back on the show the next day after the press reported this news and demonstrated her commanding Kardashian knowledge, or KKK as it was printed out, she was nonetheless replaced in that role by new co-host Candace Cameron Bure, formerly Full House star and Kirk Cameron's sister. And Bure became the prettiest guest host in the shop this season when she got into an on-air squabble with new co-host Raven Simone over in Oregon's bakery refused to make a wedding cake for a lesbian couple. Bure declared it an issue of religious freedoms and the freedom of association, and their argument went viral, or as news division professionals prefer to describe these situations. Bure expressed strong opinions, quote-unquote, and created a social media-friendly moment, quote-unquote, right up there with a social media-friendly moment when The View's Whoopi Goldberg told those who objected her spirited defense on Bill Cosby. It's my opinion, and the American courts agree with me that still he has not been taken to jail or tried on anything, so back off me, quote unquote. That was, of course, before ABC News legal expert Dan Abrams explained the statute of limitations to her on the show. And if you're thinking that The View has never seemed so real Housewives of Upper West Side as now, that is overseen by ABC News, you are not alone. Says the hiring of Wallace was part of the push to redo the show. Following last season's disastrous revolving door that saw exits of on-air talents Barbara Walters, Sherry Shepherd, Joy Behar, and Jeannie McCarthy. And the latest stab at fixing The View, in addition to whacking Wallace, Shepherd has been brought back as part of the stable of contributors, quote-unquote, who will fill in when Bure is off shooting her next Netflix series, Fuller House, for instance, which is the reboot of Full House, I guess. Producers tried to get Joy Behar to sign up too, but she turned them down. And I don't blame her. You don't want to be a consolation prize, you know,
host, which I understand. I definitely understand.
Well, goodness, I had so many other stories I want to talk about today. It's 5:33 right now, but I probably will get into them tomorrow as when I talk about former President of the United States, George W. Bush, actually got out of jury duty recently, and how he may ask he was able to get out of it because he's the President of the United States. Well, now that we know what's going on, just want to let you know. Oh, yes, one more thing. I just want to say that one other story that I do want to talk about, and this is, you know, a historical story. I didn't want to let this, you know, want this to be totally ignorant, but I just got to say something about this. Yesterday, August 6th, was the 70th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima, Japan. It was the first time the atomic bombs were first used in warfare. And matter of fact, yesterday, Japan marked the 70th anniversary of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima, with Mayor Kazumi Matsui renewing calls for U.S. President Barack Obama and other world leaders to step up efforts toward making a nuclear weapons-free world. It says tens of thousands of people stood for a moment of silence at 8:15 a.m. at a ceremony in Hiroshima's Peace Park near the epicenter of the 1945 attack, which 8:15 a.m. marked the moment of the blast. Then dozens of doves were released as a symbol of peace. The U.S. atomic bomb, which was named Little Boy, was the first nuclear weapon used in war. It killed 140,000 people. A second atomic bomb, called Fat Man, was dropped over Nagasaki, Japan, 3 days later, killing another 70,000 and prompting Japan's surrender in World War II. And the U.S. dropped the bombs to avoid what would have been a bloody ground assault on the Japanese mainland following the first battle for Japan's southernmost Okinawan Islands, which took 12,520 American lives and an estimated 200,000 Japanese. About half of them were civilians. And Matsui called these nuclear weapons the absolute evil and ultimate inhumanity, quote-unquote, that must be abolished, and criticized nuclear powers for keeping them as threats to achieve their national interests. He said the world till bristles with more than 15,000 nuclear weapons. He renewed an invitation to world leaders to visit Hiroshima and Nagasaki to see the scars themselves during the G7 summit in Japan next year. And Mr. Matsui quoted to saying that President Obama and other policymakers, please come to the 8-bombed cities, hear the hibakusha, the surviving victims, with your own ears and encounter the reality of the atomic bombings, he said. Surely you will be impelled to start discussing a legal framework, including a nuclear weapons convention, unquote. Yes. U.S. Ambassador Caroline Kennedy and representatives from more than 100 companies, including Britain, France, and Russia, attended the ceremony. Wow. It is it's something. With an average of age of survivors now exceeding 80 for the first time this year, passing on the stories is considered an urgent task. And according to the story, and this is from the Seattle Times, says there were 5,359 hibakusha who died over the past year. The total death toll of the Hiroshima bombing stands at 297,684. So basically, nearly 300,000 people died from the Hiroshima bombing. 140,000 of them died instantly. My. Well, I know we're well over time, and
we're well over time. It's 5:37 right now, and I just want to say thank you for listening to the show. I hope you keep continuing to listen to us, and also keep everyone in your prayers. I want to give my condolences to the family members, friends and family of Terry Ledford. You will never be, you won't be forgotten. You won't be forgotten, Terry. You're a good guy, and you will always be remembered. You'll always be remembered. Never forgotten. Never forgotten. If there's any, if anyone wants to have any stories or something, please give me a call at 478-731-1926, or you can call Marvella at 478-228-3715, who, by the way, also went to Southwest High School with me, who also graduated with me, along with Terry Ledford also, who was also a close friend of Terry Ledford. And I just want to say that, Terry, we will miss you. We'll never forget you. And also the other people who passed away, April mentioned names, you will not be forgotten as well. I'm just going to close the show with another, excuse me, don't want to choke up right now. I'm going to close the show with another Boyz II Men hit, One Sweet Day. This is the song that gave him another number one hit. Boyz II Men with Mariah Carey, One Sweet Day. Take care, everyone, and have a marvelous Friday. Rest in peace, Terry.
I always